I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. What is the closest that you've ever been to a United States president? So, while you're thinking about that and how you might answer that, I want to tell you about the closest that I've ever been to one of our U.S. presidents. The close encounter happened 40 years ago. 40 years ago, about 5 weeks ago. It's October 29th, 1984. I was 11 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday because it was a very significant day for the little town that my family lived in. At the time, we lived in a town called Parkersburg, West Virginia. My dad preached for a church there and taught Bible at a little Christian school called Ohio Valley College. And so it was October 29th, and so this was like a week before Election Day, and the whole town shut down. School was canceled as we all awaited the coming of the President of the United States. So in 1984, for those of you who were alive back then, so that those of you who weren't alive, let me tell you who the president was back then. It was Ronald Reagan. And he was finishing his campaign for re-election, which he would win over Walter Mondale. And he spoke that afternoon in the gymnasium at Parkersburg High School. They crammed about 3,500 people into the field house there at PHS. And the rest of us were relegated out onto the front lawn. Those who couldn't get into the gym just had to stand around on the front lawn while we waited his arrival. And so my parents and my brothers and I, we found a spot up at the front left part of the lawn and waited. And at about 4 p.m. on that Monday afternoon, the president's motorcade turned off of the main street onto the little side street that headed to the field house. And there we were, right at the corner. 11-year-old Barrett waving his little American flag on the stick as he passed. And he was so close to me. I couldn't see him through the tinted windows, but I just sensed him. You know, he was right there. All that separated us was a sidewalk and a couple of feet of road and a tinted window as he passed by. So that's my story. What about you? You ever been that close to a U.S. president? Perhaps you can share a story of a close encounter with a president if you meet with your life groups today. But I ask that question and share that story with you because I want us to think about what it might feel like to be close to or near someone of that kind of significance. You know, we're in the season of Advent that Brent reminded us earlier. And so during these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas Day, we're focusing our time together on Sunday mornings around the coming of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, the title of my lesson was Longing for the King. Last week, the title was Preparing for the King. And this week, the title of my lesson is The Nearness of the King. The Nearness of the King. Next week, Trace will be preaching, and the title of his lesson will be The Fullness of the King. But my emphasis today is on his nearness. In the text that Dan just read for us in Luke chapter 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and he said to them in verses 10 through 12, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." The angel of the Lord brought good news of great joy to these shepherds. Christ the Lord has come near. Now, it's not just okay news with some joy. Now, this is good news of great joy. In fact, the news is so good and the joy is so great that these shepherds are going to need a sign to help them to believe it. That's how signs worked in the Bible. When something is too good to be true and too great to be real, then on occasion in Scripture, a sign was given to encourage belief. When something was too good and too great, a sign would have to be given to inspire belief, to confirm belief in an individual. Let me give you an example. There's several in the Old Testament, but I want to give you one from Judges chapter 6. It's one probably familiar to many of you. It's when an angel in Judges 6 appeared to Gideon. So an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, and he tells Gideon that the Lord is going to use him to save Israel from the Midianites. Well, this news for Gideon was too good to be true. For him, the joy that would come from rescuing the Israelites from the Midianites was just too great. And so he didn't believe it. And so God gave Gideon a sign to help him to believe it, to inspire belief in him, to confirm belief in Gideon. In that instance, it was a fleece, right? When the ground was dry, the fleece would be wet, and then vice versa. When the ground was wet, the fleece would be dry. And the fleece served as a sign to help Gideon believe, because the news was too good, and then the joy was going to be too great to be real. That's the context of the sign here with the shepherds. This news is too good to be true. These shepherds out in the field, this angel of the Lord appears, and this news, it's too good to be true. The joy is too great to be real. And so the angel of the Lord gives the shepherds a sign to help them believe it. And the sign that the angel gives the shepherds is this: you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. So what's the sign? Every baby in Bethlehem will be wrapped in cloths. So that's not the sign. The sign is the manger. For no other baby in Bethlehem will be lying in a manger. In fact, there's no other baby in the whole world who will be lying in a manger. Just like a fleece is not dry when the ground is wet, a newborn baby does not lie in a feeding trough of dirty animals. Especially not a baby who's born king. So the manger is the sign. Find the manger and you'll find the good news of great joy. The sign is the manger. I have a 2008 Toyota Sienna. And the kids affectionately refer to her as Tanya. Now, one of the unique characteristics of Tanya is that her check engine light is always on. You know, as we all age, certain things just don't work right anymore. And so you just have to kind of learn to live with it. You know, one time it was bothering me enough that I decided to Google, why does the check engine light come on? And that's really kind of the extent of my car knowledge. And so I came across an article titled, "Why I Hate My Check Engine Light." And so I'm not sure how credible the article was, but here were the reasons given. There were five reasons, from the cheapest to the most expensive. Your gas cap is loose or faulty. Your oxygen sensor needs to be replaced. Your car needs new spark plugs and wires. Your catalytic converter needs to be replaced. And the fifth one was, your mechanic's 15-year-old son needs braces. And if you're a mechanic, I hope that doesn't offend you. The joke is more my knowledge about cars. When a light comes on, I have no idea what it means or what it's for. And I'm not really sure why Tanya's check engine light is on. Yet, Tanya's check engine light itself is not the point. The check engine light is a sign that points me to news about my vehicle that I choose to ignore every time I turn it on. In a similar way, the manger itself is not the point. The manger is a sign that points me to news about the baby who's lying in it. But this news you do not want to ignore. It's news too good to be true that will bring you joy that's too great to be real. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, look to the manger. Find the manger. And so here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to look to the manger. I want us to look to the manger because it points us to news that we all need to hear this morning. It's good news of great joy. And so this morning, I want us to look to the manger. And I want us to begin doing that by asking a question. Has God ever seemed distant to you? Have you ever experienced or felt or been through a season in your life when God felt distant and far away from you? Well, if you're here this morning and God seems distant to you this morning, if you're here and God seems far away from you, first of all, I want you to know that it's not uncommon to feel that way. God has seemed distant to men and women of faith throughout the centuries. Now, there are several reasons that can cause God to seem or feel distant in one's life. There's suffering. There are difficulties in life. There's negative life experiences. There are doubts. There's just everyday distractions. There's disconnectedness from your community or your family. There's personal struggles. There's lack of time spent in the spiritual disciplines. Those are just some of the reasons that men and women of faith have shared as to why God seems distant in their lives. And my point this morning is not to attempt to diagnose or to determine the reason why God might seem distant in your life right now. But here's my point. If you're here this morning and you're like, yeah, God does seem distant to me. If you're here this morning and God does feel far away from you personally, then I want you to hear the words of the angel of the Lord to the shepherds. Look to the manger. Look to the manger. You know, you have, you've heard me talk about the parabola of salvation. And Stephen Spear and I, we had a hard time translating parabola into Spanish when we were in Chile. Evidently, it's similar to the word parable, and so there was confusion when I tried to use that phrase in Spanish. So it didn't translate well. So While we were there, instead of the parabola of salvation, I called it the smiley face of salvation. And that works because salvation puts a smile on our face. And I like to talk about that, and I like that image when talking about salvation, because I think it's important to include the entirety of the gospel. When talking about the gospel, when sharing the gospel, it's important to include the news, the good news of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. You see, the good news of the gospel includes a manger, a cross, an empty tomb, and a crown. And when sharing the gospel, it's important to include all of the good news, including the manger. Don't forget the manger. Now, it's easy to skip right over it in our desire to get to the cross, but you don't want to miss the good news of the manger, because the manger is a sign that points us to good news of great joy. And the good news of the manger is this: Jesus Christ has come for you. He's come for you. Everyone here today needs to hear that message. He's come for you. He's not chosen to remain distant from you, but instead, he's chosen to come to you. The good news of the manger is that the King of Kings has come near to you. It's that the Lord of Lords has come close to you. And if you're here this morning and God seems distant from you, then look to the manger. The manger points to the good news of the nearness of the King. I shared with you earlier of the moment in my life when I was kind of close to a president of the United States. Now, this moment is obviously very memorable to me here this many years later. I'm still talking about it. But the good news of the manger is so much more than just a brief encounter with a president of our country. The good news of the manger is that the King of the universe, the one called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has come eternally close to you. The nearness of the King is the good news of the manger. And with the rest of our time together this morning, I want to look at what his nearness means for us in three very unique ways. I want to look at what his nearness means for us. First, the nearness of the King means that he's come to be with us. Emmanuel. The nearness of the King means that he's come to be with us. I'll often say this at a funeral. We're gathered on that day with a grieving family and their family and friends. I'll often say this. I think it's helpful to hear because I think it's true. I've been in this role long enough and been through those experiences enough to believe that this is true and important. And so I'll often say it to a grieving family, and that is that they don't remember a word you say to them on that day. But what they do remember is your presence with them. I think that's really important. There's something very powerful and very significant about the ministry of presence. They won't remember a word that's spoken, but they'll remember that you came to be with them in their time of need. They'll remember your presence because presence matters. And the good news of the manger is that presence matters to God. If the manger says anything to us, it's that presence matters to God. God came to be with us. So when God seems distant to you, look to the manger and let it remind you of the distance he came to be with you. From the throne of heaven all the way down to a manger of hay. I've shared this many times before. This is kind of funny. You know, the youth group, they've put together bingo cards. There's certain ones in the youth group, I should say. They put together bingo cards of like certain things that I say in my sermons. And that way, then you can kind of follow. And bingo, if you ever hear one of our kids yell bingo during the sermon, it's because if I talk about Trader Joe's, several things that if I'm one of the ministers here, you know, I got things I do. But one of the ones that evidently I like to talk about often are my trips to Fiji. So there you go. Put that on there. Did I win any for anybody? So when I was in Fiji one time, well, I used to take groups to Fiji, as you know. So, but one of the things that I always, those were evangelistic trips. And so we would only go there and we would walk up and down the streets and invite people to Bible studies and knock on doors and invite people to Bible studies and sit down and have Bible studies. And man, when those opportunities happened, one of the things that I would love to help connect when we'd have those Bible studies is that Fiji is 16 time zones away from Lexington. You had to travel 16 time zones to get to Fiji. That's wild. And so I always like to make the connection in those Bible studies is that, wow, you know, think about this distance. The distance that I've traveled from the United States to Fiji to be with you. Across 16 time zones. But that pales in comparison to the distance that Jesus has come to be with us. From the throne room of heaven to a manger of hay. Yet, as important as presence is, in order to understand the good news of his nearness, of his closeness, I want you to know that the good news of his nearness is more than just proximity. It's more than just the fact that he came near to us in proximity. You know, if going through COVID together taught us anything, it's that we can be in the same room but still feel very distant from one another. So nearness is more than just proximity. You know, I was in close proximity to President Reagan. And even though it was very memorable to me, I've never really felt very close to him. And so nearness is more than just proximity. It has to be something more than that. I've done enough marriage counseling to know that spouses can live under the same roof but feel very distant from one another. So nearness of the King is something greater than just proximity. He has come to be with us, and that's good news. Presence matters, but it's more than just presence. So number two, the nearness of the King means he's come to know us and to be known by us. He's come to know us and to be known by us. I was within several feet of President Reagan, but he had no desire to know me in a personal way. In fact, there were Secret Service all over the place that were not going to let me get to know him in any kind of personal manner. Not so with the King. There's a relational and personal aspect to his nearness. You see, his nearness is not just about proximity, it's also about familiarity. He's come to know us and to be known by us. Listen, the manger was just as planned as the cross. It was intentional. It was purposefully chosen by God. It was not random happenstance. And he didn't choose it because it makes for a good, like, Hallmark Christmas card front. The humility of the manger is breathtaking. The word manger comes from the Latin word meaning to eat or to chew. The King of Kings' first crib was a feeding trough for dirty animals. Listen, from his very birth, Jesus came to know what it's like to have to deal with adversity. From his first breath, he came to know about the difficulty of this life. He's come to know us in every way. He's come to know us in our sadness and in our grief. He's come to know us in our suffering and in our heart. He's come to know us. And just as breathtaking as the humility of the manger is, it's equally breathtaking is the accessibility of the manger. Who did the angel of the Lord first tell the good news of his nearness to? Shepherds. It's significant that the angel came to shepherds, not to Pharisees, not to kings, not to the wealthy. In fact, he came to the ones who were despised by the good people of the day. An early rabbinic teaching reads that a man should not teach his son to be a shepherd, for their craft is the craft of robbers. Shepherds were not even allowed to testify in court, but they were the ones, the first ones, invited by God to draw near to the king. The accessibility of the manger. You see, he's come not just to know us in every way, but he's come to be known by us. The nearness of the king means that he does not keep his distance from us, and we do not have to keep our distance from him. He's come to know us in every way, and he's come to be known by us in every way. That's the second part. And then the third part, the nearness of the king, means that he's come to help us. He's come to help us. He's come to be with us. He's come to know us and be known by us. And he's come to help us. You know, it's become our rhythm here at Southside to spend the first several weeks of a new year in the Psalms. And so the first Sunday in January, we're in Psalm 34. For those of you that like to plan ahead and be prepared. And Psalm 34 contains one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 34, 17 and 18 in the Message reads this way. I love what Eugene Peterson does with this. This is what he does with it. He says, is anyone crying for help? Because God is listening. And he's ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. And if you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. I love that. The nearness of the King means he's come to help us. I know several of you are familiar with Johnny Erickson Tada. She's a Christian author and speaker. I had the privilege several years ago to hear her speak about heaven. I was at a conference in Louisville, and it's just definitely like one of the top five sermons I've ever heard preached. And it's now been more than 50 years since she had a diving accident that left her paralyzed from the neck down. And here's how she testifies. Her testimony is so powerful. And we need it so much. We need to hear her words. She testifies, this is her testimony from the platform of a wheelchair about the nearness of the King. Here's what she says. He has not chosen to heal me, but to help me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. He's not chosen to heal me, but to help me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. You know, in Scripture, Jesus refers to both himself and the Holy Spirit as the helper. The Greek word for helper is paraclete. And it literally means one called by God to come alongside to help. One called to come alongside someone else to comfort. One called to come alongside someone else to encourage and to empower. One call by God to come alongside someone else to sustain them in whatever they're going through. The angel of the Lord told the shepherds to look to the manger. And there you'll find in that manger, ultimately, one lying there who has come to save the world. And he's also come near to help you. He's also come near to come alongside to help you, to sustain you, to comfort you, to encourage you, and to empower you. Look to the manger to hear the good news about the nearness of the King. He's come to be with us. He's come to know us and to be known by us. And he's come to help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good news of the manger. We're thankful for the message of the nearness of the King. You know, that the beauty of your gospel is that it's so rich, it's so full. The news is too good to be true, the joy is too great to be real. And that's why we have to tell all of it. And the good news of great joy about the manger is that you've come to be with us, you've come to know us and be known by us, and you've come to help us. And so I pray that this message, this good news of great joy, that it will just sink deep into our hearts, that it will resonate with our hearts this morning, particularly those who are here this morning and for reasons in their life, they just feel distant from you, that you seem distant from them. Lord, may open up the eyes of their heart to look to the manger. Hear the good news of great joy, that Jesus has come to be with us. Pray all this in his name. Amen. This morning, the invitation is for anyone here who has never come to Jesus in faith. Jesus has come to us. He's traveled a great distance to be with you. And if you have never turned in faith to be with him, we would love to be a part of that this morning, for you to put him on in baptism, for you to repent of sin and put your faith in him in baptism this morning. Please, won't you come as we stand together and sing.